A new series we're starting today, and it's going to be good. With 8 weeks, it's called Shadow Boxing, a book that I read years ago. I created a series, and a lot of the stuff that I'm going to be talking is my personal experience of the struggle of our minds. How many of you guys struggle in your thoughts once in a while? You get crazy thoughts, crazy attitudes, crazy words, and we're going to talk about that. We had a good time in the first service. I have this energy. I don't know if what's going on with me, but it's just like, it's me, I guess. The more I feel, it's just me. I think that the more I feel the enemy tries to give me, the madder I get and the crazier I get. It's just like me, and I guess it's a technique that I developed over the years. And my dad told me once, the devil can never discourage me, and that kind of stuck to me. It's like the more he wants to give you, the more you pray, the more you fast, the more you read, the more you seek God, the more you walk in purity, the more. Amen? Open your Bibles, Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. And we're going to talk about the devil today because he's your enemy. And you need to discover and understand how he works in our minds. The Bible says in Isaiah 14, 12 to 15, how are you fallen from heaven? O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground. He was cut down to the ground. That's what he wants to raise in our minds. You who weaken the nations, careful. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend. Say with me, ascend. Ascend into heaven. I will exalt. Say exalt. Exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation in a high place on the farthest side of the north. 14. I will, say with me, ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. Sheol is hell, really. Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. I ask you, God, you help us to understand this word, that we are in a fight against the enemy. Lord, and some of us are in the darkness, in the shadows, boxing in an area of our lives. Lord, and I ask you that through this series, you would help us to see and to understand how the enemy works. And we have victory, because there is nothing sweeter than victory over our flesh, over the lies of the enemy, over sin, over things in our lives who defeat us, Lord. I ask you, just help us to understand your word and give you all the glory for what you are doing in our lives, in our church, in our marriages, especially in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. It is interesting that when it talks to you about the devil, about Lucifer, it says all these things. And I'm going to repeat to you some of them. It says, I will ascend. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit on the mount. I will ascend above the high clouds. But the Bible says, how are you cut down to the ground and you're going to be brought down? Why did Satan have to be kicked out of heaven? Because pride and arrogance cannot inhabit God's presence. And he got prideful and he got arrogant and he would not humble himself. And that is important, you and I understand. When we want to get closer to God, we can never get closer to him with a prideful and arrogant heart. You know the story that Jesus said, there's two guys in church, and one said, I do all this and I do all that, and the other one is repenting, saying, God, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, the prayer of this one didn't pass the ceiling of the prideful one. That's why we come to Jesus through salvation, but it starts with what? With repentance. Repentance, the world will tell you, is a bad word, but in God's kingdom, repentance is one of the best things you can do in your life. We have to have that attitude. But I want you to think about this, because we're talking about shadow boxing. I want you to think about this. When Satan introduced himself in the Garden of Eve, he came and he did not introduce himself who he was. Satan did not came to Eve and say, I am Satan. I am Lucifer. I wanted to exalt myself and be like God, and he kicked me out. I hate God. I hate you, and I'm the worst thing that exists out there. What did the devil did? He came as an animal. Even Adam seen animal all day long. And he speaks to them. So two things you need to understand of how the enemy works. He will never tell you he's talking, who is talking to you. And he will talk to you. When we struggle in our minds, we need to understand that he will not introduce himself. Jesus says, why did he came? Luke 4:18. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken heart. If your heart is broken, that is prime land for the enemy to mess with your mind and with your life. When somebody hurts you, you are prime material to hear the enemy and let your heart be filled of unforgiveness and bitterness. Yes or no?
Yes.
Poor, when you feel like you're nobody, you're defeated, you're a mess. And some of us are in this life now understanding that we are in a ring with the enemy. The moment you accepted Jesus, there was a fixed fight. Do you know what fixed fight means? When two boxers fix a fight. The moment you accept Jesus, you have declared and you took the responsibility of a fixed fight with Satan in your mind. Because, please understand this, when Satan couldn't defeat the king, which is God, what is he going to try to do? He's going to try to exalt himself, to raise and become stronger in one area at least of our lives. If you cannot defeat the king, which God is the king, and he cannot defeat the king, what he wants the most is to take control of an area of our lives. And he doesn't introduce himself. He works in the darkness and he makes you think that is normal. Ask Katie for how many years in our marriage we will get into big old fights, sometimes more than once a week. And I will say, you know, honey, this is normal. Couples fight. They argue. And the thing is that my wife, when we were dating, she told me, when our first fight we had, we were dating, she told me, you know, we are going to fight in our relationship. And so just that just enforced this whole thing. And for years, I was hurting my wife with anger, with trying to control her, with pride. And I thought, this is normal. Are you here with me? I was not in the light boxing against the enemy. In a few areas of my life, I was on the ropes being defeated. If you give Fabian night vision goggles prepared by the government, and you give him some gloves, and you give me some gloves, and you turn this room pitch dark, who is going to beat who? The one who what? Who has night vision. I'm watching this series of Night Nature on Netflix. It's amazing. You see what's going on. They're filming all these animals and life in the jungle in the night. And it's a tremendous what you can see now. But if you give him that, and listen, where the enemy wants us is to have one area, at least, one stronghold. We're going to go to the scripture in our lives where we are blind. Because if you cannot defeat the king and take the whole territory, you're going to find he's going to try, if he cannot defeat the king and the whole territory of your life, he's going to try to find one area. And he's going to look at what's going on in your life. The best preparation to defeat an enemy is what? Is to study your enemy before you attack him. Are you here with me or no? And so the Bible says here, he came to preach the poor. Is there an area of your life where you're brokenhearted? You are blinded with pride. It says to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover of sight. That is the ministry of Jesus, to recover of sight to the what? To the blind. We can have a blind area with pride, with fear, with jealousy, bitterness, negative attitudes. How many of you guys don't even know that you struggle with trying to control other people? And you think, that's my job as a mom. That's my job as a father. That's my job as a pastor. Are you here with me today? I'm glad you came, because this is going to be some good stuff. You don't find maybe steak and potatoes at Walmart, but you're going to find some today here for your spirit. I'm not joking. When I was getting ready to prepare for this series, I felt, honestly, a spiritual oppression over my life for like a couple days. And I'm thinking, what's going on? I'm not messing with sin and the darkness. I'm trying to live close to Jesus. And I feel this oppression. And I heard the Holy Spirit told me, the devil does not want you to preach about this. Because there is too many people sitting in churches where they have at least one or more areas of their lives where they are blind and they're being defeated and they are on the ropes getting beat time after time after time after time. Is there an area where you struggle with anger, lust? You want to control others, arrogance? Are you fighting in the ring? First question. Or are you getting beat up on the ropes? Are you fighting in the ring? Or are you getting beat up on the ropes? This series is for the people who is tired of being defeated, frustrated, ashamed. Listen to this. Boxing in the darkness is a futile exercise. Did I say that right? Futile. Boxing in the darkness. Listen, my friends. Is a futile exercise. The only thing that it does, it leaves you tired and defeated. And I know that somebody in this room understands exactly what that means. When you're boxing in the darkness, is a futile exercise. All you get is being tired and another time defeated in the same area. He has been punching you time after time after time after time. Did you want to have victory? Yes or no? The Word of God and the Holy Spirit can give you everything you need to have victory if you really want it and you really want to do what you need to do. I heard this week something from a pastor, and he said that he heard this pastor, and it hit me. He heard this pastor, he has people coming to him and say, Pastor, pray for me for this area. Pastor, pray for me for this area. And this old pastor, when he sees that people is asking them for something that is not so much a matter of prayer, but as something that you have to do, he tells his congregation or the people that comes to him and says, I'm not going to pray for you about that. But if I tell you two or three things that you, if you start doing, it can help you greatly into having victory in your life in that area. Would you do those two or three things? Are you here with me? And he said that the majority of people says, if those two or three things are easy to do, I will do them. But pray for me. Listen, I'm going to say it. How much you pray is not going to do it all. Because you need to have light of the Spirit in your mind and in your heart of where is that the enemy is defeating you. And where in your mind and your heart, in your feelings, in your thoughts, and in your words, you are accepting it as normal. My dad was like this. My grandpa was like this. So it runs in the family. Let me tell you something. That is a bunch of baloney when you bring it to Jesus. God wants you to have victory. Amen? Amen. Many believe and understand the spiritual realm and the boxing and all this stuff, but some of us don't understand. And we have a lack of knowledge of how this whole thing works. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. You yell at me, I yell at you. You said this, I said this. You get me mad, I do this. This is according. How many of you guys know what it is to fight according to the flesh? The more you fight according to the flesh, the more the enemy is going to defeat you, because the Lord has called us to have spiritual victory. For the weapons, verse 4, of our warfare are what? Say it with me. Are what? Not carnal. Not carnal. Your human nature in the world will teach you every carnal weapon that you can ever use. And some of us grew up, even listen, in homes where we saw our parents use carnal weapons time after time after time after time. And we trained our mind not knowing that this is how you deal when this happens. Are you following me here? But the Bible says that our weapons are not carnal. Say it with me, not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold in a territory, in a kingdom. Back in the day, it was a castle, a place where there were soldiers. In different parts of the country, they put it, especially around the border. So the enemy had to defeat one stronghold at a time. And this is important. Once the enemy has defeated one stronghold, now he has more power to invade another stronghold of your mind. Are you here with me? And the Lord says, I give you mighty weapons. I give you the word. I give you the Holy Spirit. That's why the enemy does not want you to spend serious time in the word every day. That's why the enemy does not want you to fast. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to go to church. That's why the enemy does not want you to surrender your life to Jesus. That's why the enemy wants you to have the same spirit that he has, which is to exalt ourselves. Many of the struggles and the things that we struggle and are defeated in our lives is because we are trying to what? To exalt ourselves. And sometimes we exalt ourselves so much that God has to humble us. But there is a difference in between God humbling you and you humbling yourself before the Lord. Because God can humble you and you can be super embarrassed. But next day, when the dust settles, you go out again with the same prideful attitude, with the same arrogance. The enemy cannot defeat a king, so he will try to exalt himself in at least one area of your life. At least one of your life. It's all about control. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing. Did you ever argue with others or in your own mind? Arguments in every high thing that exalts against himself. The devil exalts himself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every what? Thought. This is where the boxing is happening. Up here. But if you're in the darkness in one area of your life or more, he will punch you time after time against the ropes. He will punch you time after time against the ropes. And you will justify, you will blame others. If my wife wouldn't say that, if my husband wouldn't say that, if my kids wouldn't say that, I wouldn't have to do that. I wouldn't have to say that. That is a huge lie. Because who is in control of your life? You and the Holy Spirit inside of you? Or what people does and says that controls your life? I'm talking to myself. Listen. Are you here with me today? God wants you to have victory, casting down every thought, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Into the obedience of Christ. Listen, write this down if you have a pencil. In the area where I struggle, am I walking into the obedience of Christ, or am I just doing, saying, thinking, or feeling whatever I want? Because when you know, anybody has identified the area you struggle, at least one of them, are you walking into the obedience of Christ in that area? Have you studied what the Word of God says? Have you spent time with the Holy Spirit and you say, God, am I doing what I'm supposed to do, or am I just acting in the flesh, thinking in the flesh, feeling in the flesh? Into the obedience of Christ. We all need to hear this. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You need to be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Only God can show you how that works. But when I mess up, my flesh does not want to humble myself. My flesh does not want to ask for forgiveness. My flesh does not want me to recognize. I need to punish my flesh, not beating myself up, but I have to punish the attitude sinful of my flesh. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here. Some of us recognize. I shouldn't say that to Katie, but she loves me. No, Christian, you got to punish your pride and your anger and your ego. And you're going to say, honey, please forgive me. I should have never said that. Are you following me here today? I'm going to punish myself not watching this, because maybe some of what I'm watching is not all bad, but there's going to be some parts that are going to be really impure and ungodly and immoral. Are you following me here? I'm going to punish myself not going to that place, because maybe not everything is bad over there and there's going to be something good, but I'm not ready to go there because I fall into disobedience. Are you following me here today? But we lie to ourselves. We let the lies of the enemy defeat us. And we all struggle with this. And we do say stuff, and we post stuff, and we make fun of others, and we entertain thoughts of prideness. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us, do not do that anymore, we are not willing to punish ourselves. We're not having the fun part of it. And so what happens? The whole package develops again. Are you understanding what I'm saying here today? Whew, Pastor, I shouldn't stay home. Are you losing the rounds in your life because you bought into an old lie of the enemy that you cannot have victory? You accepted knowingly or unknowingly a victim mentality. Some of us, because our struggle is not horrible, we have not taken super serious that area of our lives. And remember, that's a stronghold. The enemy doesn't care if he takes 100 feet at a time, a mile at a time, or he takes an inch at a time in your life. Because it's all about what? Control. Is it sin to eat bread? No. But what is the first thing that Satan tells Jesus? Turn these rocks into bread. It has nothing to do with the action. It has to do to who we submit our will. It has to do with who becomes the one who controls and orders our action in that moment. Are you here? That's what is the whole thing. But listen, Deuteronomy 1:21, the Bible says, look, the Lord your God has set the land before you, a victory, a land of victory. Go up and possess it. Pastor Luis said last Sunday, we have to do something. Go and possess it. You're going to fight. You're going to face a giant. You're going to walk around. You're going to have to battle this. As the Lord God of your father has spoken to you, do not fear or be discouraged. Do not fear or be discouraged. One of the best things that the enemy can do to defeat you is to discourage you to keep fighting in that area. To discourage you that you're never going to have victory in that area of your life. Do not fear or be discouraged. You need to walk out of this room today as a lion. You need to walk out of this room today as David with a bag of stones. In fact, on the end, I'm going to let you go to your internet and Google a few scriptures that can help you maybe whatever your struggle is. That's a good thing of the internet. Google. Scripture about lust. Scripture about anger. Scripture about unforgiveness. Scripture about jealousy. Scripture about wanting to control others. Scripture about... Because you need to put a few stones. Could God kill the giant Goliath by himself? Yes or no? Yes, he could. God can kill that little thing for like nothing. But he tells David, you have everything you need. You have my power inside of you. Go and get a few stones. So when he comes out next time, and you know he's coming next time, you're going to do something. You're going to put that stone in the swing, and you're going to swing, and you're going to throw a rock at him and see what happens now. Willingness to compromise. Willingness to compromise. I compromised in my life in some areas where the Holy Spirit was telling me to stop doing it. Because others do it way worse than me. And I'm just doing this little thing, something here. How many of you guys are tempted to compromise with the enemy? Come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Come on. We are willing to compromise. And if you're willing to compromise and say, you know what? That's the borderline. You can be a meter in there. Sorry, I talk South American sometimes. 3 feet. 3 feet. The enemy did not came to take 3 feet of the land. He came to kill and destroy. And if you get strong against him, and you take this serious, the battle of your mind, you will have victory. But if you compromise, he will take you down. When you tolerate dark places in your life, the enemy will become stronger while your spirit becomes weaker. Can a Christian be demon-possessed? The second question. I hope everybody's ready for steaks and potatoes today. Because you might find out there in the books some Christians who will write and teach you this big lie. Listen, the Holy Spirit is in your spirit, but the devil can be in your flesh. So you can be demon-possessed. I got to be a good pastor. I got to give you sometimes something that is really good for you. Because there is people out there who believes that a Christian can be demon-possessed, and the demons are in the flesh. And we can go theologically down that road, and it's totally wrong. And we know the Bible says that the one who is inside of me is stronger than the one that is what? Inside. But I'm going to give you a good uppercut. What is it? A one-on-one? We're fighting today. Okay, go with me to 1 Corinthians 6:20. I'm going to put my gloves on for this one. They're not mine. I don't even know if they fit me. I'm going to pretend I have them down. 1 Corinthians says, 6:20. For you were what? Bought a price. Therefore, glorify God, say it with me, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Boom, shakalaka. You knocked him down right there. A Christian cannot be demon possessed. Look at the person next to you and tell them that. A Christian cannot be demon possessed. My spirit and my body were bad. In fact, the Bible says that our body is the what? The temple of what? Of the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, your body is the temple of your Holy Spirit. So the most spiritual word I'm saying tonight, today is shakalaka. Boom. You cannot be demon possessed. Amen?
Amen.
But he operates from the outside. The real issue is control. The real issue is control. If you allow me to borrow your keys for your car and I go and make a copy, I can use your car anytime I want. Listen, he wants just a copy of something. Because if I have a copy of your car keys, I can find your key and do whatever. I turn in, I get in, and I drive your car. The issue is control. He wants to control our minds. He wants to tell us crazy things. And if we do not have light in that area. In the 20, this month, and I remember yesterday, this month we're turning 24. It's coming quick. I better get my act together. It's in a few days. 24 years of marriage. I forgot about it. Oh, my goodness. So much to get done. In the 20-some years of marriage, I remember one time. It came to my mind. I'm going to be very transparent with you right now. And I hope Katie doesn't get freaked out. She knows me way better than this. I was driving one time. We're coming back. We had an old pop-up camper like 15 years ago. Driving down the highway. With the whole family. And this thought crossed my mind. What if you push the gas to the bottom and run into that tree way over there? Is that a crazy thought or what? It happened more than once. But those thoughts are easier to understand. He goes to the extreme of doing those things sometimes. And what happened? I know I'm not crazy, but the first thing the devil tells you after he tells you a crazy thought, what is he going to tell you? You are crazy. That's how he works with me. Who in the right mind will think to kill his own family? I know. When he tells me, how about you fantasize with something that is super immoral. I know where he's coming. Listen, your pastor is now homosexual. But listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. Have you ever had a thought like you look at a person of the same gender and you think, wow, that's a good-looking person? The devil put that in your mind. And then what he tells you, you're gay. Are you following me here? Listen, I can go deep in some of this stuff. I don't want you because I don't know if you're ready. But anybody ever had a crazy thought going through your head? Or just me? Nobody wants to raise their hands. Maybe because I'm a pastor? No, because you are a Christian. We all have the clear in our minds. And you say, that's crazy. Devil, get away from me. Jesus had to say it. Yeah? And he was tempted in every area. I really believe that the Bible is what it says. He was tempted in every area. Amen. I think that Jesus had once in a while, or maybe once at least, they thought, you're gay. You're crazy. He did not respect Jesus to tell him, kill yourself. Amen. You think he's going to respect you? But then there are all these underlying areas where we don't have not identified him yet. We have not identified him yet. Go with me. You want a Bible story? Acts 5, 1-3. Stop the clock. No, just joking. Listen how it is as Christians, people. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Background. In that time, some Christians were selling the possessions and giving all the money to the church. And people knew about it. Family so-and-so, brother so-and-so, sold a land in Los Lunas and gave all the money to First Assembly. That was happening. That sounded like I want somebody to do it, but that's... And so what happened here? Ananias and Sapphira sold a possession, verse 2, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, they both know, they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter, the pastor, said, Ananias, because they were saying, this is all the money of all the souls. We have not kept a penny. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep part of the price of the land for yourself? Why has Satan not possessed you, but filled your heart with greed? We wanted to be famous. We wanted to look like you are super, so generous. Who is doing this? Satan. Fill the heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep part of the price of your land for yourself. Sometimes we voluntarily do this. Sometimes we don't even know. But you will know that you know that you know that you know. The enemy is messing with your mind when you look at the results of what happens. Katie's crying alone in a room because I said something that really hurt her. And she locked herself in. And it really hurt her. Oh no, but that's normal marriage. No. That was not the will of God for my marriage. Are you here with me, my friends? And I would come and pray and fast. And I keep justifying myself. Everybody in this room needs to identify where the enemy is defeating you. It might be 3 inches, it might be 3 feet, it might be 3 miles into the land. But he wants to take time after time after time. Romans 16:20, the Bible says. No, go with me to 2 Timothy first. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 26. And a servant of the Lord must not what? Quarrel. But be gentle to all, able to teach. Did you know Christians who quarrel a lot? Anybody? Did you know Christians who are not teachable? They know it all. Patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Do you know Christians who are not humble? In this season, take please these words with you. The Lord talked to me. And about this whole season, counseling service, not counseling service, some churches are doing, some are not. Who is going to church? Who is not going to church? One of the first triggers that he wants to push in you is prideful. I'm better, I'm more spiritual, I have more faith, I am this and I am that. Be careful with pride, with whatever is your decision. The Lord wants in this season to show us some things in our hearts. Are you here with me today? Be careful what you post on social media. Be careful what is the root of what is making you talk, what is making you think, what is making you act. Is it a desire for God? Or is it something else? Can I have an amen on that? If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Listen, 26, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Strongholds are taking captive an area of your life. After me and Katie went through 12 months of every 15 days, I said this so many times, marriage counseling, you know. And I thought she was the problem.
until the first marriage counseling. And the second one, I thought she was going, okay, no. And you know, and the interesting thing that I was a pastor, and I was the guy who came from a family who was a great parents, and she came from a divorce. And so the devil is messing with my pride, and I can go crazy on this. And then after this 12 months of counseling, my friend pastor said, you know what? I think we are good in the marriage counseling, but I think you and me should meet alone for a few more months, Christian. Because he had identified strongholds in my life. This great man of God had identified some crazy stronghold in what you might call your pastor, which is a person just like you, who had to read books and is still fighting in his mind every day the enemy. Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen. Did you lose your temper? Did you struggle with hating somebody? Did you struggle with fear? Did you struggle with anger, with lust, wanting to control others? That's a big one. Arrogance, ooh, that's a huge one. And see, that's the thing. Sometimes we can see when the enemy has a stronghold in somebody's life, but you cannot see in your own. Have you ever talked to somebody and everything they're saying comes out of pride and arrogance? Have you ever been in that place? And you can identify that. Wow, they're so prideful. They're so arrogant. But if you tell them, that whole thing you just told me about how great you are, it comes out of a stronghold of pride and arrogance in your life. They say, what? But what if when they come and talk to you about it? Psalm 18:28. For you, God, is talking to God here, will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. God is in the business of enlightening your darkness. If you have a phone, go right now, Google scripture about and put the word there. I know it's different Sunday. It's different. Everything is different today. I never preach inside of this thing. I thought I was going to be uncomfortable, but it's pretty cool, I think. Google it. Because you might get home and the enemy doesn't want you to Google that. Are you there? Maybe you haven't even discovered the area you struggle and you are defeated time after time on the rope. Google. Scripture about lust. Scripture about controlling others. Scripture about jealousy. Scripture about anger. Scripture about yelling. Scripture about I know it all. Scripture about pride. Scripture about selfishness. Scripture about jealousy. Some of those are, they said, this is a satanic thing. Satanic. That's not the wisdom of this world. It's the wisdom of Satan. Would you close your eyes right there where you are? I love you. And that's why we still have church. Stay posted on what's going on Facebook, social media, Instagram, all that stuff. Text me. I can give you my phone number at the end of service. But are we going to pray today? Lord, in this season, maybe somebody's going to stay home a little longer. Lord, we need you to bring light into the areas where we have darkness and we have one after another defeat in our lives. Lord, and I ask you that you would just bring light. Some of us justify so much our wrong thinking, our wrong behavior, our wrong words, that we blame others, we blame the circumstances, we blame our ancestors, we think this is normal. We think everybody's too sensitive around me, and we are so in the darkness. Lord, I ask you, I beg you, God, please, 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 that in this season of this series, you will bring light. And as we write down the area where we struggle, Lord, I know one that I struggle tremendously, God. Would you please, Holy Spirit, speak to me every time a thought wants to rise in my brain that is impulsed by this stronghold in my life, and helping me to identify it, help me to reject it, help me not to act on it, help me not to expose something, not to say something. Lord, help me to be quiet. Lord, help me to take serious the struggle of our minds, to have victory, to be a light, to have more joy and more peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.